Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. About a month ago, a friend of mine gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. Around that same time, I read an article about half-brain sleep research in humans. Half-brain sleep has well been known to occur in certain species of birds and marine mammals like dolphins and whales. In these species, scientists first considered the possibility because these animals sleep with one eye open and one eye closed. At that time, people dismissed the possibility that a similar phenomenon could occur in humans. I suspect they did this for two reasons. One was that when humans get into that state, they don't sleep with one eye open and one eye closed. The other is, I suspect that the majority of the researchers were males. That chauvinistic statement is based on my own experience as a new mother and that of other women I know who have noticed the same phenomenon. When you have that newborn in the house and you know that that baby is totally helpless, a different part of your brain kicks in. You sleep, but you don't really sleep. There's a part of your mind that's always on, alert to the tiniest sound from that child, the tiniest movement, or if things are too quiet. Anything that would signal that things are not as they're supposed to be. Fortunately for sleep-deprived parents worldwide, as the child grows and becomes more independent, that sensation fades. But even when the child has gotten old enough that you can sleep soundly, if the child is ill or if the child is injured, that same system kicks in again. What does this have to do with the human-animal bond? Well, the same thing happens with animals, and it takes two forms. One is similar to the parental form. We get a new puppy or a new kitten, and particularly if it's the first one, we get into this half-brain phenomena when we sleep. We're on alert. Then as the puppy matures and the puppy's confidence in us and himself grows, we all start to relax more. After that, it's the same as it is in kids. When the dog gets sick or the dog is injured, the system kicks in again. We could probably hold a dog and cat owner Olympics, and one of the main events would be speed of barf response. I don't know about you, but I can be dead to the world, and if the cat or one of the dogs starts that preliminary anywhere in the house, I am awake and out of that bed like a flash. And I know I'm not the only one. But there's another side of this phenomena, in dogs in particular. This is when human canine role reversal occurs in the household. Instead of the humans functioning as the protecting parental figure for the animals, the dogs have inadvertently or deliberately been put into that protective position. If they lack the confidence and the skills to assume all that responsibility, then they behave in manners that I can only assume indicate that they experience the same phenomena that inexperienced parents of babies do. Part of them is always on, too. Granted, there are some of these animals, when their owners are sleeping, they're patrolling. They walk around downstairs while the owners are sleeping upstairs. They sit on the back of the couch and stare out the window to make sure that no free-roaming wildlife or domestic life violates their space and hurts their people. But for the others, it's a twitchies. It's a twitchies in the sleep, or the sense that they're not fully relaxed. So what can we call this other part of the brain? I think of it more as a sixth sense. It made me think of the pineal body of the brain, a primitive part of the brain, and how sometimes it's referred to as the third eye. And maybe that's what we're talking about here. A kind of extrasensory perception that enables stressed individuals to get as much sleep as they possibly can without compromising their ability to protect a loved one. As always, when it comes to behavior in the bond, it boils down to balance. It's a system that's beautiful when it's needed, but when it's no longer needed, we as human or companion animal parental figures need to let go. We need to relax. I personally think it's our responsibility to interact with our animals and to train them in such a way that they don't feel responsible for protecting us, physically or emotionally, because they need their sleep too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.